Watch out, Blue Bloods. Make way for the New Bloods. Deluna Coffee adds to their Blue Angels collection with their Fat Albert blend, a classic combination of Guatemalan and Brazilian beans. It is truly their roaster's choice. And hey, check it out. K-Cups of It, along with Voodoo and Red, White, and Brew are buy one, get one free. So go check it out over at DelunaCoffee.com.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, fueled by Deluna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Azan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up WarChant, fueled by Deluna Coffee. DelunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. Get the bundle, y'all. $40. Get yourself some red, white, and brew. Get yourself some espresso chocolate-covered beans. Get yourself a tumbler. Get yourself some Wake Up WarChant. Corey's here. I'm here. I'm in Charlie's in Santa Rosa Beach. ACC kickoff day one in the books. As you're listening to this show, day two will carry on. Florida State, the Atlantic going. But first, we check in with Corey, again, on vacation in Santa Rosa Beach, but working on vacation because... I don't even know why you are, but you are.
Well, the grind never stops. That's why.
Okay.
That's I know one way to live, and that's it, grinding. So that's why I'm still here.
And I mean, that's because WarChant.com is the ultimate Seminole sports source. It makes men out of all of us. And we thought it was going to be a great show to start things off for your Thursday morning. Everybody talking about day one of ACC kickoff, commissioner's forum. We'll talk about some of the news and notes from that. We got to hear from coaches in the Coastal Division, Miami, North Carolina, teams like that. And the big news, man, again, just rolling hard here on War Chant. I mean, Gene Williams just turned this whole thing into Monopoly. I mean, he added Park Place. Now he's got Boardwalk. Jeff Cameron, part of the family. I guess let's start off on a high note, Corey. Let's talk about Jeff coming on board. That's your dude. That's Ira's dude. I love Jeff. His freaking energy anytime we would be doing War Chant Report over the Man Cave was awesome and hilarious. Great institutional knowledge. He's been doing this forever. He's got the scars to prove it, man. This thing keeps getting bigger, man. We're a gorilla that ate an elephant, and now we're huge. We are Tallahassee sports monster, actually, I think.
That's what it seems like. Obviously that had been in the works for I don't know, a few weeks. I knew about it, but we couldn't say anything publicly that it was gonna happen or it was coming to fruition and all that. But the thought of him joining it really excited me when Gene first brought it up. I mean, that was just a really cool. It adds something else to the site, and it also adds something else to our multimedia platforms, which are plentiful. You know, he can be used in post-game, pre-game. He'll have a show with Ira on Sundays that I think people will really like and listen to. He'll have podcasts every day. Headlines stays with us now. Headlines keeps going, Seminole Headlines, and will now be a War Chant property. And then the Jeff Cameron Show is a War Chant property. And it's just, how could you not? The guy's been doing it for 20 years. Like, when people think of Florida State Sports Talk, that's the guy they think of. There's not even a second. And he's been doing it for so long and been so good at it. When that was a possibility, I'm like, man, we got to make this happen because we'll be, I mean, yeah, Gene's just put together a roster and I'm not even including myself, although I should. I'll include myself. He's put together a roster of guys that if you want to know about Florida State football, if you want guys that are, entertaining, if you want guys that are informative, if you want guys with a bunch of sources, guys that have been doing it forever, the institutional knowledge that you're talking about. I mean, even if you take me out of the equation, Ira, Jeff, and Gene have all been doing it since the turn of the century, essentially. And then Tom, you and I, and then obviously Langston's been doing recruiting forever. And then Tom, you and I, Tom Lang. I mean, that's, again, those are guys that probably got around the beat. You were a kid, I know, a student, but I came down and started covering Florida State in 07. Tom was a student, you were a student, and then Tom started covering in 09. You're talking about, I don't know, man, close to 100 years of experience covering Florida State sports.
It's a
home run.
And don't forget about our guy Austin. I mean, Austin Cox knows Florida State inside and out, too. I mean, he unfortunately doesn't have the heyday knowledge of the dynasty living through it the way that you did with your father. But Austin and his father have a great bond over Florida State football, and he knows – he's got that Clark-esque recall, but unfortunately, it's 2008 games, you know.
Yeah, it's different games. Yeah, it's the stuff that I'm glad I can't remember.
Hey, we got to hide our, we got to cover our blind spots. We have no blind spots, man. It's amazing. So check out all of Jeff's great content, as you already probably know, folks. But it'll also be under the War Chant umbrella. I'm sure that you'll see the podcast. His podcast will now be rolling over, and then he'll be under YouTube TV with us. So it's great, man. Again, Wednesday was going to be a great day, a great celebratory day for War Chant Florida State fans. And, again, just football fans, because we're getting so close to season kicking off with ACC kickoff going on. But as the day went on, the news that dropped from the Tallahassee Democrat and Jim Henry was the deteriorating health of Bobby Bowden, who's 91, everybody. It would be 92 here in November. The Bowden family released a brief statement on Wednesday, too, after Jim Henry, the Democrat, revealed that Bowden had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. The quote from Bobby was, "I've always tried to serve God's purpose for my life on and off the field, and I am prepared for what is to come. My wife, Ann, and our family have been life's greatest blessing. I am at peace." It deflated. I mean, it was a weird sort of vibe that changed, because you start going into news gathering mode, and we're, you know, Ira's talking to Ivan Mizell. And there's people coming up to Ira, like, you know, almost like trying to get consoled by him. And I'm talking to all the coaches. Tom grabs Mac Brown. I'm grabbing Jeff Collins and Bronco Mendenhall. And I mean, he's 91. This, you know, these sort of things obviously happen, but it doesn't make the news any easier to kind of swallow and bear at this point, it seems like, Corey.
Yeah, you know, it's great that you guys were up there so you could get a reaction of all the people in college football. As we get further and further away from the dynasty, you wonder that outside of Florida State fans, will people understand the impact that Bobby Bowden had on this sport, not just on the university, but on the sport as a whole. And so, you know, Jimbo was quoted. Mike Leach was quoted, like, because the SEC media days are going on. The Pac-12 media days, I think, start here soon, if people care about that. But all these coaches will be asked about Bobby Bowden. And it's just, it's really, it's never fortuitous. I'm not saying that. But that announcement coming, where so many coaches had microphones in front of them. And, you know, college football writers or college football analysts had microphones in front of them because of the media days that are going on. The outpouring of support, or just you know, remembrance of the guy. And you know, he has not passed yet; he's still alive. But you know, when you come out and say you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness, we all know what that means. No idea how long, but you know that's. And when I started thinking about it, you know, I tweeted one little thing, but I don't like. The only reason I tweeted about Bowden at all on Wednesday, honestly, was because I tweeted about Jeff. And I couldn't very well tweet, "Yes, sir," about Jeff Cameron and then not acknowledge, "Oh, yeah, there's another really big story, a bigger story, sorry, Jeff, than Jeff Cameron joining War Chant." So I wanted to tweet just so people knew that, yes, I did care, and Bobby Bowden had a real impact on my life. I didn't just want to ignore it. But, yeah, it's like the... You know, it really does make me think back to, like, how lucky I was. And I know a lot of people listening to this, if they're of a certain age, how lucky you feel to have gotten to fall in love with the Florida State football program with him as the leader. And I started going to Florida State games in 1983. They became great in 87. And I was there for every step of the way. And it was always so cool to have that guy as the face of the program, because he was a good person, a really good person, really funny too. And it made me, you know, I don't know, you know, we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of my dad dying. Like, literally, we're a month away from it. And it just starts to make you think about all the great times I had with my dad, like the 10 of the 12 great memories of my life, 10 of the top 12 probably with my dad are Florida State games. And how many other people have, and because of Bobby Bowden, like if he had turned it into Central Florida or Troy, those wouldn't have been great. Those wouldn't have been great memories. My dad, I wasn't going to go to a Troy game. But my dad going to Florida State, living through the down years, and then this guy from West Virginia, I know he's from Alabama, but comes from West Virginia University to take over the program. And then my dad, for the next 30 years of his life, got to live something he never thought was possible, a dominant program at his alma mater, and that's because of Bobby Bowden. And so all the memories we got to share, going to the Big House, national championships, wins over Florida, wide rights, not great memories, but they're still memories. I still remember my dad after the wide right. Like, all these things are because of Bobby Bowden. And there are a lot of people listening to this that their childhoods are filled with Bobby Bowden and just his teams and how innovative he was and how funny he was and what a gentleman he was. So, yeah, that's awful, awful news. Yes, he is 91. What a great life. I mean, good night. What a great life he's gotten to lead. But, yes, that's all. It's of course, impossibly sad.
The silver lining, it's not even a silver lining, but I guess what brings me sort of comfort in this is what you talked about when you kind of started sharing your thoughts about is whether or not people really kind of understand what he accomplished, the magnitude of it, the way he went about it. And I think what comforts me is the fact that people of your age, as you mentioned, like you're the gatekeepers, like people, you know, millennials joke sometimes that anything that happened before they were born doesn't matter. A guy I used to work with joked about that. He said, hey, man, that happened before I was born. I don't care about it. But, you know, guys like you that lived through it, Gene, you know, Jeff, Tom and I, students, not dealing with the best of times, that we still remembered and probably chose Florida State because of the way the dynasty was. Like, the legacy's never going to – the luster of anything is going to grow from here, I think, because there's going to be that line of delineation almost where he is the last true architect. The blue bloods that we know right now and are, you know, I guess maybe if you want to say Dabo to a certain degree, but I mean, Clemson won a national title. Granted, it was 1981, but
right.
They had some sort of foundational basis for being so football hungry and dedicated and being where they're at now. But, man, when you talk about your LSUs, your Alabamas, the team down south, I mean, he is the last true sort of architect of a blue blood program. Nobody else is – that has won a national title has come close to digging out from what Florida State dug out when Bobby Bowden got to Tallahassee. And I think that memory is never going to be forgotten. And that's what brings him comfort here now. As again, he still is here, though, everybody, so we should probably not be too somber with that. But it's hard not to reflect on, you know, what's ultimately going to happen in the immediate future. But his legacy and the people he touched, I mean, David Cutcliffe. I mean, guys, you know, Bronco Mendenhall, a dude who grew up in Utah, I think, for most of his life, or at least went to college at BYU. You know, just sharing all these anecdotal stories about being on a Nike trip and meeting Bobby Bowden for the first time and what he's meant to them as coaches. He's their coaching hero, what he's meant to all the players. And that's what kind of brings me comfort, man. And you know, can't find fault with what he's done and what he's brought, and, you know, could not be more diametrically opposite than I am, right? Like a 91-year-old guy from Birmingham, Alabama, grew up in post-World War I. We were probably so diametrically opposite in terms of our values and what we grew up on. But just what a great dude, what he did to the school, my alma mater. And shoot, I'm not here if it's not for Bobby Bowden. So the show is not here if it's not for Bobby Bowden. So that's, again,
yeah, no doubt.
That's
yeah.
What I'm trying to find the comfort in all this right now.
Well, and I think, and we have no idea how far along his illness is. It's always not bothered me, but like all these things usually are written or said about someone after they passed. It's really neat to read things saying great things, people saying great things about you before you pass. So I hope he can do that and understands what the importance is, but what his importance was to people and his impact on people. Because, you know, it wasn't a great ending for Bowden at Florida State. It was ugly at the end, and he was at fault, too. I mean, he was probably more at fault. I mean, but I am a huge fan of his. I was not a fan of the way it ended, but I also understand some people hang on too long and want to hang on for too long. But that should in no way, I hope, take away from what he built. People were just ready for a change because the program was in a malaise. We all know that. But what he did to the program... You talk about an architect. I mean, you know, I don't like Clemson. Yeah, Dabo's built an incredible program here recently, but Clemson already had that stadium. That stadium hadn't changed since I was a kid there watching the Punt Ruski. Like, it's the same stadium. It's the same fandom. They've always had great fans, and they've always had that big stadium, and they've always had guys sprinting down the hill. Bobby built everything. Bobby okayed Renegade and Osceola. Bobby essentially okayed the war chant. He built that stadium. It was an erector set. People made fun of it. Now it's one of the prettiest stadiums in the country. It has been for years, and that's all because of Bowden and what he started. Now, if you want to do a thought, I don't even know what you call those, where a hypothetical about if he'd have taken the job in 86, a thought exercise, does Florida State still turn into Florida State? The answer is probably no.
Yeah.
But he had built that team. People don't understand how bad Florida State was when he got it. Like, people of a certain age. I do because I've read a lot, and I had my dad to give me the stories. But, I don't know how close they actually came. That's the thing they always say, is they almost shut down the football program. I don't know if that's true, really. But I do know they won 4 games in 3 years.
Yeah.
They were awful. And then he comes in, takes over one of the worst programs in the country, literally one of the worst programs in the country. I wrote a story about his hiring, like the 30-year anniversary of his hiring, maybe the 40-year anniversary of his hiring. Yeah, 2016. And I was reading all these old Tallahassee Democrat articles, and one of them was they played Memphis the first game of the year, Memphis State, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the kid said, because he was recruited, the kid that scored the game-winning touchdown against Florida State that year, from Memphis State, had been recruited by Florida State. And he's like, well, I wanted to go to a place. I didn't go to Florida State because I wanted to go to a place where I could win. That's a guy at Memphis State talking about Florida State. The next year, Florida State goes 10-2. 2 years after that, they're in the Orange Bowl, undefeated. And then the year after that, they're in the Orange Bowl again. That's how quickly Bowden turned it around. It was not easy. He got to take advantage of a lot of things in the mid-'80s, most notably Florida going on probation, and that's really when the dynasty took off. But he took Florida State, even if that had never happened, even if he had left after 86. What he did from 76 to 79 is incredible. That just doesn't happen. So, yeah, it's a sad day, but I hope, again, the memories come just flooding back, and all the funny things he said. I mean, his quips were incredible. Just off the cuff, just a naturally funny person, like a comedian type funny. Mm. Like, he could have been a stand-up comedian back in the day because he was just incredibly funny. But a good person, warm heart, always called everyone buddy. Even if people wrote not great things about him, he would call you buddy, and still does if you're visiting, I'm sure. So, it's cool that he gets to experience, I hope, this outpouring of what he means to college football, because he's one of the greats. He's one of the guys on the side of the mountain. He is a big, big, big time contributor to college football as a whole, not just Florida State. He is a mountain of a person and a mountain of a head coach.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Also, go to our YouTube page, to Corey's point about Coach being a comedian, and check out his 90th birthday roast they had for him at the University Club. I cut up some highlights of that a few years ago when he turned 90. So if you want something to lift your spirits and know how awesome Coach still is, still got it, go check that out. All right, Corey, we'll be talking to Mike Norvell, Jermaine Johnson, Mackenzie Milton, and Jordan Travis later on Thursday. So do stay connected to the website, YouTube, everything for updates of that. But on Wednesday, we spoke to the Coastal, which, whatever. We spoke to Commissioner Jim Phillips, right. His first big appearance as commissioner of the ACC, replacing John Swofford, which, check it out, maybe Mackenzie Milton or Jordan Travis or Jermaine Johnson can win the inaugural John Swofford Award, which is going to be the MVP of the ACC Championship football game. So that's pretty cool. But
okay. The Swofford? That's what it's called? The Swofford Award?
Yeah, the John Swofford Award. Okay. So. But the thing that's all of a sudden has kind of come back from nowhere to a certain degree. I don't want to get too, you know, locked into what we were doing last year around this time, talking and postulating about the virus, which I'm not trying to diminish it by saying that, but it's just like this damn thing is still here and it's back. But this whole vaccination thing, they're not, which is a good thing, I guess, for ACC. ACC says that over half the teams are over 85% vaccinated, which this means that if you're a vaccinated player, you're out of protocol. So you won't get contact tested or contact traced, rather. You don't have to wear a mask inside the facility and campus. So they've given you some incentive to be a player and get vaccinated. And then this makes you be able to obviously play. But the fear now, the SEC has come out and straight up said it, that they are not going to reschedule games due to COVID. You're either going to get an L or a forfeit some way. I mean, they're just not in the business of doing that anymore. The ACC hasn't taken that far of a step. What do you think about that? I'm kind of with the SEC at this point. I'm just, hey, man, we can't do this whole we're going to wait till the day of and try to figure it out, or we'll put in an extra bye week. That made sense in 2020 when we didn't know and vaccine wasn't around. But if we want college football to get close to normal, and I don't even, you know, I guess the fan element is a big part of that, being back in the stands. But, man, let's roll out a schedule. Let's play the schedule. Let's stick to the schedule. If you can't play because of illness, then you're going to have to forfeit, man. I think that's the way they should do it, but they're not. They haven't taken that step yet. Do you think that's they're just delaying the inevitable, or they've got a better medical advisory group than the SEC?
Well, I don't know about that. I think what I was thinking about when I saw Phillip's comments on because I wasn't there. Again, I'm soaking up the rays. I mean, I look like a bronze god. It's incredible. So you guys are doing all the heavy lifting, and I'm just back looking on Twitter occasionally. After I wake up. I woke up after his. I don't even want to get into that, Aslan. I don't want to make you feel bad. But anyway, when I saw his comments, I was a little surprised because I thought he'd be more like Sankey, the guy from the SEC, the commissioner of the SEC,
yeah,
who basically was calling out, you know, he said we only have 6 of 14 teams that have hit the 80% threshold, and that's not enough. And basically said, called out the programs that hadn't done it, and then said he does not want to reschedule games, and they will not be a no contest, essentially. So if you can't play because too many of your players have COVID, then you forfeit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, man, what happens if Alabama has to forfeit? Do they go down in the standings? Does that affect them in the playoffs?
They've got 90%, Corey.
Exactly. And then I saw
30%.
That. Saban, of course.
Yeah.
Of course Saban's team, because it's a competitive advantage. So, of course, he's had multiple doctors go and talk to his players who might be hesitant about taking it to tell them why they should take it, because that's what Saban does. He's all about – I'm not saying he doesn't care about those kids' health, but he cares about winning football games, and having your team vaccinated and not able to get COVID is a good way to win football games in 2021. So what I think will happen, though, man, is, I would think that if there's an outbreak on a team, number one, I don't expect there to be a huge outbreak. Because it's not going to be like last year, where if one of the DBs got it and he was in the room with everyone, they're all under quarantine. Well, if 7 of those DBs are vaccinated, well, they're playing.
Yeah.
Sorry. They don't get tested and they play. So I don't really think forfeits will come into play unless there's a team that only has like 25% or 20%. But, you know, if you have 14 linemen on a team and 3 of them aren't vaccinated and one of your linemen catches it, well, then those 3 aren't playing. But the other guys are. So that's where, you know, that's kind of where I am. And I don't foresee a lot of games being canceled.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be like we talked about it last year. Some, like, it'll be a rash of like sprained ankles. That's how you're going to have to look at it. Okay, these guys aren't vaccinated. And just explain to the players, if you're not vaccinated and one of your teammates that you sit next to, if he tests positive and you're not vaccinated, you're going to have to be quarantined. You're probably going to miss that game. That's how it's going to be. But hopefully, you think even the ones that aren't at 80% are in the 60s and 70s, high 70s or something. Certainly by the time the season starts, if they're all at 80 or 85%, then yeah, I think you have enough wiggle room that even if you have to sit a few guys down that have it or aren't vaccinated, you still should have 60 players to play. You know what I mean? 65 players to play. Unlike last year when some teams would have like 26 players available. That's obviously, you have to cancel a game then. But I don't see that happening much. I think most games will be played as scheduled. All of them, actually.
Yeah, that's accurate. I mean, yeah, I didn't really think about it through that lens, but it's an accurate lens, man. That's the way to look at it because, to your point, man, if you're vaccinated and you got at least 65%, the odds of you guys getting wiped out is very, very narrow. Sorry for stammering there. Ira just gave me the key to the car. I'm out here grinding. They're going to go eat.
Hey, tell Ira I said hey.
No, he's gone. He's already going enjoying himself.
Oh, well, when you see him later, tell him I said what up.
Ira was just chained to the desk all day Wednesday, man, just freaking keeping this thing running,
Yeah, and it's the Coastal. You know what I mean? And it's teams we don't even care about except one.
Man, we're here making it happen, though, Corey. We're making it happen.
I know.
Otherwise, I thought that was really the key takeaway. He did mention the fact that, you know, football is going to be more.
He did say, though, right? I guess I didn't get to the point, though. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. But he did say that he's not going to interfere with people's something like that. I can't remember the direct quote.
Yeah, it's like a personal decision. But they're going
to he respects that it's a personal decision to get vaccinated or not, which, yeah, is fine. But, you know, some people that are on teams, if they're not vaccinated, can really sidetrack some teams. So he's not mandating it. He didn't come out like Sankey did and basically mandate it or really pressure. He kind of just tiptoed around it, which, you know, it's his first foray into something like this. So, you know, that's not surprising, I guess.
Yeah. And then, obviously, everybody wants to know about the ACC network. There wasn't a lot of details given on that, but it's obviously on his radar to try to get more distribution, i.e. Comcast, i.e. Tallahassee, Florida cable provider. So hopefully that works out. And otherwise, I mean, he said the right stuff, but still, man, color me a little bit skeptical. I'm going to have to see it to believe it with this conference pushing football. I mean, he did say that they do have to bring football to the forefront, but that doesn't mean that you have to do that at the expense of other programs. That's what made me kind of cringe. Like, okay, I get that, but you said the part out loud that you shouldn't say out loud. Because that, to me, just sounds like you're insulating yourself from any sort of criticism where it's like, this is going to be a little bit of a – it's crazy. And in this conference is going to be a little bit of a controversy. It's going to be a little bit of a controversy if you come in and you say, man, football is now going to be our chief and sole focus. We need it to stay relevant because our member institutions, depending on the numbers you looked at, anywhere between $8 and $20 million less than what Big Ten and SEC schools got. Because before he takes a stage, they show this whole montage of ACC greatness, man. Field hockey team winning something. Notre Dame fencing winning their third title in a row. Virginia swimming. I can't say I don't want to diminish these teams, but okay, man, this is the football thing, man. We're like 49 days away from kickoff. Awesome. Great. What does that have to do with what we're here all to do right now, which is talk about this football conference. Well, that's football, but talk about the sport of football. The fact that you had two teams that made it to the playoff and you have a perennial established program like Florida State, a team like Miami that's won a whole bunch of national championships millennia ago. But that was maybe it's to your point where this is one of the first things he's done. Maybe he wants to, I mean, Tom Lang mentioned on the video that we did, probably doesn't want to get himself into a whole bunch of hot water on his first sort of big foray into this thing, but I think there was a way you could have made it a little bit more forceful. I didn't. Again, I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I did like what he talked when he talked about the ACC network and that it is a priority for him because it just seemed like you know it got to the point, and I've said this before, but you know, when the ACC network was coming, they're all administrators from every conference. Or every school were like, yeah, call the Xfinity, call Comcast, tell them your ACC network. And then, like, 2 months later, the pivot was drop cable and get on Dish or something.
Right,
like, they just gave up. And they haven't even really addressed it in the last 2 years. So the fact that he addressed that, I don't know if he mentioned Tallahassee by name.
No,
but
he didn't.
Fact that, but Xfinity, the biggest cable provider in the country, I assume, I made that up, but it seems right, doesn't have your network. Is a black eye, and it seems almost like a failure if you can't get on the big. They have all the other ones, you know. They have the SEC network. By God, they have the Big Ten network in Tallahassee, Florida, but they don't have the ACC network. So that's embarrassing. So I like that he says that that's a priority, but we'll see what that means. I mean, I'm with you there, but I do think how could you not, man? We don't think the guy's dumb.
No.
We don't think the guy just lucked into this job. So how could you take over as the commissioner of the ACC and not put 97% of your focus into football? 100%, really. It has to be. Because look around. Look, hey, now they're talking about Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. What's that going to do? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the new rumor that came out on Wednesday about alignment talk again 10 years later. But so it's like you have to think about football because that's driving everything. And only an idiot would be the commissioner of a big-time sports conference and not know that football is really kind of the only thing that actually matters. Because money is what matters the most, and the only thing that makes money anymore is football. So he's got to be smart enough to realize that.
What do you think about that? That Texas-Oklahoma thing, I mean, almost took over my timeline that's Florida State-centric about the news of Coach Bowden, just sheer panic and horror at, I mean, if Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC, what do we – that was my whole linchpin, Corey, was that we're going to take Clemson and Miami. We're going to abscond in the middle of the night. We're going to meet and rendezvous with Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor. We're going to grab UCF as well, Memphis, maybe Tulane. And we're going to make our own football conference. And then now if you take those two teams away, I can't – and that's the thing, probably not even a good reason to bring it up on the show. I can't even imagine. That's almost more harmful to the sport than NIL. If those two teams go to the SEC, good grief! What in the world would happen? Who are we?
Yeah, it becomes almost like a monopoly situation where like they're monopolizing the sport. One conference, they're getting all the schools that make the most money and have the biggest fan bases and the biggest donor base, and they're becoming one conference, and they're just going to print money while the other conferences fail. And it's like, okay, is the rising tide gonna lift all ships? Is the rest of the conferences in, or are they in dinghies, and the SEC is the cruise ship, which it seems like that's what they want. But again, this is a preliminary rumor that came out. Now Texas did not dispute it. So and look, man, Texas. Why wouldn't Texas and Oklahoma want to be in the SEC? Everybody should want to be in the SEC. Look at how much money. If you're interested in making money, of course you should want to be in the SEC. So that makes sense for them to want to. Will the SEC do it? That's the real question. Would they do it? And if they're going to do that, then why wouldn't you add Florida State and somebody else? You know what I mean? Like Florida State and Notre Dame, make a run at them too. Like, why not try to get all the – like, hey, they're basically what Gene Williams is. You know what I mean? Right. Like Gene Williams sees a popular sports personality in Tallahassee. He's like, that's what I want. I want him. You want somebody like Jeff? No, I want Jeff. You want somebody like Ira? No, I actually want Ira, and I want Corey. In Aslan, the great A-train.
Yes.
So they're basically the Gene Williams of conference realignment. But it does make sense. I mean, look, of course they'd want to. That's a lot of money, more money for the SEC. But, yes, it would tilt the college football world so far off its axis that, yes, it becomes a sport we don't – it's already getting there. But it will be a sport that's almost unrecognizable if those two guys are added to that conference.
The quote from Phillips was, as I've stated since my first day as ACC commissioner, football must be number one priority for us, for all of us, our schools, the league, ACC network, our partners, coaches. We've been collaborating for months to ensure that the ACC football has the mindset of 24/7, 365, and we're working together to further elevate football. But then he says, the commitment to football will not be at the expense of our other 26 sponsor sports. ACC basketball, which we all love, has been and will continue to be the paradigm for excellence. But
well, that's double speak.
You have
speak,
to say that,
right?
Though. You have to say
it's
that.
It's double
though,
speak. Yes, you can't say one thing and then say the other thing. That's double speak. Of course, it's going to be the expense of some of those sports, as it should be. Nobody with a working brain would think that you would devote as much time to field hockey and men's soccer as you do football. It's just not happening. So, maybe don't say that. But yes, we all know that that's not true. Of course, that's going to be the majority of his focus.
Corey Clark,
in lacrosse. I mean, look, obviously lacrosse is number one, but after that, football is a close second, and it's gaining.
Corey, what would you have done when I would have arrived in Tallahassee back in 2018? I would have been like, hey, I'm from the future. And I pulled out a photo, and it was a private jet with Mike Norvell, Jermaine Johnson, Mackenzie Milton and Jordan Travis sitting in it. Like, what would you have thought? They posted a video of them all arriving here in town on Wednesday, and I showed it to Ira. And Ira just always laughs at all my jokes, so it makes me feel like my stuff's funnier than it probably really is. But it's going to be crazy on Thursday. Like, this is where we're at. Like, complete overhaul of this football team. Not only from 2018, as I'm joking about, but just from last season. I mean, these three guys are all here. We're going to speak to them as a local assembly of media, I think at 8:45 in the morning. Then they'll be at the podium, and then they're going to go to their breakout rooms, which is just a smaller ballroom where there's an individual table for Coach Norvell and then for Jermaine Johnson and for Mackenzie Milton and for Jordan Travis, and we're going to ask them all the same questions, like, over and over. I'm not making fun or poking fun. It's just kind of the way it's probably going to work out. But any questions you want me to ask on your behalf, Corey? I was going to say I should probably put you on speaker and then maybe just mute you, and you can just listen in, like, live and do your transcription.
That's one way to do it.
Stories.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. No, I think you guys will handle it. We still have four people there. You, the aforementioned Austin, Ira, the great Tom Lang.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think you guys will hold it down, and I'll be back at the headquarters here in Santa Rosa, the War Chant West, and doing what I can to help out. But, no, I think you guys got all the questions. I mean, I'm sure they'll talk about Bowden, Norvell will anyway. And yeah. Then, ask them about the season. Ask them how they're going to be. Ask them what their record's going to be.
I want to snap the photo of the crowd around McKenzie versus the crowd around Jordan.
That's going to be rough there at first.
I almost just want to just stand next to Jordan the whole time and just hear how many times he gets asked about McKenzie, and then have Austin just stand embedded next to McKenzie and hear how many times he's asked about Jordan Travis.
It will be McKenzie Milton will be asked twice about Jordan Travis.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. Jordan's going to be asked 15 times, 20 times about Milton. But, yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be a bad idea. It would certainly be a good picture. Because, again, this is so unlike anything that's ever happened at a media day. Nobody ever brings two quarterbacks. This has never happened before. This is uncharted territory in the history of college football media days. So it will be interesting what that looks like. And, you can't feel too sorry for Jordan Travis. He's a quarterback at Florida State. He's had a pretty good life already. That's going to be a really interesting dynamic, that room tomorrow. Later on today.
I wonder what the answer is going to be when we ask him, like, why did you, not even us, but just the media at large, like, why? I don't know if anybody would even ask that, though. I'll probably ask at some point. Like, you know, and I almost know the answer, so why ask the question? So maybe I won't ask it after all. But just, like, why did you bring two quarterbacks? I'd love to hear the honest answer, which is, like, I got to, man. Would I bring I bring one guy? What's the other guy going to think? But it's going to be they both deserve that. They both worked hard.
Yeah, they're both good representatives of the program.
Yeah. Is it worth asking?
You're right. But, yeah, you might as well ask it. It'll still be a good question.
Is it worth asking? Well, then, I don't know. I almost think that we're more focused on the two quarterback thing and not talking about the fact that, man, like, there's no, like, I guess maybe Cooper or Gaynor would be the only guys that are holdovers from the previous staff, the previous era, that might garner the attention or have billing. I don't know. Cooper probably doesn't.
I know, man. Love you,
Bobby, but you are what you are. And then Amari Gaynor's on.
These are the right guys.
Yeah,
guys make sense. Yeah, these guys make sense to me. These are the right guys.
You see Corbin and Toe. Was it Corbin and Toe Philly both made the Doak Walker watch list? I think a running back.
What if they split it? It'd be a good season if those two guys split the award at the end of the year.
And Cam McDonald, the AFCA Good Works. That's the American Football Coaches Association.
Yep.
All these awards that were
all these watch lists, man. It's fun stuff, these watch lists.
You know, no Florida player made the Maxwell watch list. McKenzie made it, but not one single Florida player.
Sorry, Dan.
Hopefully Florida's terrible. That would lift my spirits if they were horrible. Tried to
happen, man. It could happen.
Tried to troll Manny. And I need to start following more people on Twitter. I don't know how many people you follow. You got like 20,000, 30,000, 25,000 people follow you?
Yeah, something like that. 25 maybe.
How many do you follow? Not even 1,000, right? Like, what, 500?
Like 3 or 4. Yeah, 400 maybe.
Yeah, it's tough to follow anything more than that. I only follow like 170 because I tried to rankle Manny and it didn't work. But I was just like, hey, man, you know, Mike Norvell did this whole community outreach thing in your neck of the woods, Palm Beach, Broward, Dade County. Was that too close for comfort? Or is all fair and love and recruiting? And he kind of like composed himself. He's like, actually, yeah, it's PR. He's like, you know, it's for the kids. It's great. He's like, we've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. And I'm like, what? Really? Like, I didn't have any idea about that. And then Mac Brown.
Well, I'm sure they've been doing their own camps there, but he doesn't travel around with his camps like Norvell did.
True. And then Mac Brown's up on the podium talking about NIL. Everybody was asked about NIL. Asked Derek King about, was he worried at all about getting blowback from the fan base for, you know, fraternizing with a Florida State player. And he's like, nah, business is business. But then Mac Brown's up here talking about, I think, Bubba Cunningham, or maybe no. Don't quote me on that. But Bubba, I don't know what his last name is, has been working on their whole NIL approach for 2 years. So I feel like sometimes I'm in the echo chamber that is Florida State Twitter, and it's like everything we're doing is amazing and innovative and pioneering. And then these other coaches are like, nah, man, we've been doing it too. And I'm like, well, damn, I've been sitting here trying to praise my guy at the expense of the truth. Feel a little bit bad about that. I don't think you do, though, Corey, because you're like, whatever.
I don't at all. Okay. And again, Diaz, of course, they have their own, they have their youth clinics in their own city. They don't travel. That was the
wrinkle
that Norvell had. He was going to recruiting hotbeds, but he was bringing himself to them as opposed to having them come to. So that was what was unique about that. And then the NIL, people have been playing on this for years. Heck, North Carolina, they come up with whole colleges you can graduate from that don't even exist except for athletes. So, but you know what I mean? They have a long history of something like this.
Drop the microphone. We are done. We're done. Was there anything else you want to talk about on the way out, Corey? I don't want to interfere with the sunset.
No, man. I'm ready to go do a little more boogie boarding.
Okay, right on. It's going to be a really busy day on Thursday, everybody, and we have you covered. I can't imagine one drip of information will not be provided by us. We are water airtight over here. Again, four of us out here at ACC kickoff. It'll start around 8:45 in the morning with Mike Norvell, again, doing a little bit of a local media assembly with, you know, the local media, Aslan, learn how to talk. And then they will be on the stage, which you guys can all watch live on ACC Network if you have, obviously, the channel. They'll be on the podium in the ballroom. It'll be Norvell followed by the players. Then they'll go to the breakout room. So, I mean, everything that happens here, we're going to be able to regurgitate it back to you. And Corey's going to do a podcast with me for Friday because he's awesome, man.
It's what I do.
Okay. We're done.
I love you.
We're done for the day. We're not done for the week. We're not really ever done, though, are we? It's 24/7. It's a website, man.
Told you, we grind. That's what we do. We grind. You know,
it's a website. We're open all day, every day, every single month, all the time. All right, I got nothing left to say. I want to go eat. I'm really hungry. Corey, what do you have for dinner?
I haven't eaten yet, buddy. Okay. I'm going to have some sort of fish sandwich, but I'm not sure from where yet.
First order of business for Jeff Cameron, now he's with War Chant, is to help me figure out a way to close the show so I don't just stammer awkwardly.
Yeah, this has been going on for like 12 minutes. This is like the end of Lord of the Rings. I keep thinking we're done, and then there's another ending, and then another ending.
All right. Okay, we got it. He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by the Luna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.